We continue our scripture reading in the book of Romans. Today we come to chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. We'll go to the end of the chapter in verse 32. This is the beginning of Paul's grand exposition. We looked at the introduction, the prologue, in our last reading. Now he's going to start to unfold his grand gospel exposition. Now, isn't it interesting where he starts? It is not where we tend to start. Because Paul wants us to know, before he talks about salvation, what we need to be saved from. And so he begins, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." Now, what we have in chapter 1 is Paul showing how the ungodly world, the irreligious world, we might say the atheistic world, is under the wrath and judgment of God. When we get to chapter 2, it's going to be the religious world, and everyone together are bound together in sin, relying on the grace of God. But here we have the secularist who does not acknowledge God. And one thing Paul's going to say in this passage is that there are no atheists. There is no such thing as an atheist. Why? Because everyone lives in a world, the design and function of which is to bombard us with the data of the power and majesty of God. There are people who deny God, but they are denying a God they know. And Paul will use the statement here that they are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. Now, by the way, that is something the Christian knows about the unbeliever that they may not be aware of themselves. And Paul shows here that you do not just deny the God and therefore have no God. The only alternative is some form of idolatry. And he makes a statement, claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images. One will either worship the true God, or one will serve an idol of one's own making. Now, one of the offshoots of this is seen in verse 20. People will say, how can God judge someone who's never heard the gospel? They're not responsible for their unbelief. Well, Paul says, they are without excuse. Everyone who rejects God is rejecting knowledge of God that he has given to them graciously through the created realm. We call it general revelation. And they are without excuse because they all know him. Now, Paul goes further and he says the consequence of this idolatry is that God judges them by giving them over to sin. It's a very fascinating and, dare I say, instructive account, because what Paul particularly highlights here is the widespread proliferation of homosexual sin. He says, therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. They worshiped the Creator, so God gave them up to dishonorable passions. And he talks about the shamelessness of this kind of sin. Now, I do want to say that homosexuality is a sin like all others. We are all sinners here. If you struggle with homosexual desires, you have joined the sinner club, and we know we're sinners like you. And yet, the Bible here, the Old Testament, and here the New Testament, says that there is a particular sin against nature. It doesn't just happen, at least on a widespread basis, on its own. When it is spread like this, it should be thought of as God's judgment giving us over. He says it is itself the penalty for its sin. Now, we're living in a time when, I don't have to tell you, homosexuality has been normalized. And we've seen the power of secular culture, of movies and TVs and songs and now the courts. And suddenly our moral consensus is changed. God's moral consensus is not changed. And he speaks very clearly, not only to the act, but to the desire as being dishonorable, verse 26. Shameless, verse 27. Of course, people involved in this sin can be forgiven just like any other. And yet it is a particular sin. People will say to me, Pastor, do you think that it will ever get bad enough in America that God will judge us someday? And I always go to Romans 1 and say, biblically, the only explanation for what we have been for some years experiencing in our culture is that we have already come under judgment, and this is what it looks like. We're thinking judgment in terms of outward calamity. But you see, God's judgment is the breakdown of society. The inability to even know what your gender means. The desire for shameless acts. It calls for not some of us to repent, but all of us to repent and seek the mercy of God. He goes on to talk about all kinds of other sins, many of which are promoted in children's programming, boastfulness and disrespect to parents and gossip and these sorts of things. They are all evil. And then Paul caps it off in verse 32. You have really become a depraved society, not merely when people are doing these things, but when you give approval to those who practice them. Well, surely this describes God's judgment on our own ungodly generation, in which not only are the most depraved things happening, but they have the approval of the ungodly. Well, this is all leading Paul to call us to come to Jesus Christ, for there is grace from God to forgive us, but it is from this wrath that we need to be saved. Well, with that fairly long explanation, let me read the passage. Please give ear to God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind, to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. The grass withers and the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.